Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, June 13th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD, Murray appears set to resign board seat. Murray, state law requires a resignation to allow his sons to accept jobs to teach and coach at Legacy High School. By Stuart Doreen. A state law is the reason Board President Brian Murray appears set to turn in his resignation Thursday at a special board meeting. Murray told the Reporter Telegram that his two sons are coaches, and both have the opportunity to teach and coach at Legacy High School and Midland ISD, where they attended school. My two sons, who taught and coached in Greenwood last year, have the opportunity to come to their alma maters in MISD, Murray wrote in a text. The staff at Legacy High School is the reason the youngest decided to teach and coach. It turns out there is a state nepotism law that doesn't allow them to start work for MISD if I am on the board. This is a great opportunity for them to work for the school from which they graduated. The resignation, if it does occur, will take place during a noon special meeting of the Midland ISD Board at the Administration Building, 615 West Missouri Avenue. Information about the resignation appeared on the Midland ISD agenda, which came out Monday, and it includes the, quote, consideration and possible action regarding resignation of trustee Brian Murray, unquote. Action arising from an executive session also calls for the discussion and take possible action, if necessary, regarding the process for appointing a replacement board member. Murray is the representative of District 7, generally Northwest Midland. There is no mention on the agenda of calling a special election to determine Murray's replacement, if required, just multiple references of an appointment. Murray's term ends in November 2024. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard said, when a vacancy occurs on the board, there are several options to fill that vacancy as outlined in Board Policy BBC Legal. The agenda for the special meeting on June 15th is posted in a way that allows the board to use one of the three options that are allowed. Those options are: the board could appoint someone to fill the vacancy until the end of the term, November 2024. The board could hold a special election to fill the position until the end of the term. The special election could be held no earlier than November 2023. The board can appoint someone to fill the vacancy and conduct a special election in November 2023 to fill the position until the end of the term, November 2024. With more than 1 year left on the term, the vacancy shall be filled no later than the 180th day after the date the vacancy occurs, Howard wrote. While Mr. Murray's resignation is to allow family members to be eligible for hire with Midland ISD, they would not be eligible until the seat is filled by one of the three options listed above. If the board selects option one or three, there would not have to be a delay in their employment process. The agency item that is posted for June 15th is for the board to discuss and approve the process for handling the vacancy. Murray also didn't close the door to a return to the board in the future. In a text, he stated, "We have not finished the work we have begun, and I would love to continue the work with Dr. Howard. I think she has created a very hard-working, determined team, and I would love to see my service through to the end." So that means he is not opposed to running again in November 2024, or a return to serving on the board if the opportunity happens. "I hate that I'm having to step down at this time," Murray wrote. "I have worked hard and take pride in my service. We have momentum and so many good things happening. I just felt it wasn't right to limit my son's career opportunities. They have earned their right to give back to our students and are more than excited." In a time of teacher shortages across the state and nation, this state law seems peculiar. I know there must have been a good reason for this law at some point, but sometimes there are negative consequences, even when there were good intentions. I have appreciated the opportunity to serve and plan to be an active participant until I have the option to run again. Editor's note. The Reporter-Telegram has asked the six other members of the board if they favor appointment or a special election for the District 7 seat if Murray does resign on Thursday. This article is entitled, "MISD Announces Stanton Graduate as Next Police Chief," by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD has hired Carlos Ortiz to serve as the district's next chief of police, the district reported. A recent retiree from the U.S. Border Patrol, Ortiz brings more than 27 years of law enforcement experience to his new role. "I'm very excited to bring my law enforcement knowledge and experience to MISD," he said in a news release. "Safety and security for everyone is my top priority, and I will work hard to ensure our officers are better equipped and better trained than ever before." Ortiz's career includes service as Assistant Chief Border Patrol Agent at the Border Security Operations Center in Austin, according to the district. He also served as second-in-command at the U.S. Border Patrol Academy in Artesia, New Mexico, and Assistant Chief Patrol Agent in Washington, D.C. Prior to his Border Patrol career, Ortiz was a Texas Department of Public Safety trooper stationed in Midland. Ortiz is a Marine Corps veteran who was deployed with the 3rd Battalion, 8th Marines in Operation Desert Storm and Operation Desert Shield, the district reported. He received numerous awards, including a Joint Meritorious Unit Award, National Defense Service Medal, and a Meritorious Unit Commendation. Ortiz is a graduate of Stanton High School, where he played football and basketball. He earned his criminal justice degree from Odessa College. His wife, Brendy, is a Lee High School graduate. "We are very excited that Carlos will be our next chief of police," Superintendent Stephanie Howard said in a news release. "I truly believe he is the right person to move the department forward, establish good working relationships with other agencies, and grow our police department into a well-respected agency in Midland and the Permian Basin." The Midland ISD compensation manual states the salary range for the chief of police is $103,896 to $143,473. Ortiz begins in his new role on June 26th. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, June 13th. Colby Grace Grover. Colby Grace Grover passed away in Lubbock, Texas on Saturday, May 13th, 1 month shy of her 23rd birthday. Colby was born on June 13th, 2000, in Midland. A memorial service will be held at First Presbyterian Church of Midland on Friday, June 16th at 1:30 p.m., with Pastor Steve Shore officiating, followed by a reception at the home of Rosalind Grover. Colby is survived by her father, David Grover of Dallas, her two sisters, Riley Grover and Landry Grover, her uncles, Arden Grover Jr., Jeffrey and Lonnie Grover, and their son, Ethan Grover, her aunt, Rossum Grover, and her first cousins, Caps Killingstad and Rosalind Killingstad, all of Dallas, her grandparents, Dusty and Barbara Rhodes, her tutu, Rosalind Grover, all of Midland, and her aunt, Leslie Rhodes of Lubbock. Colby is preceded in death by her mother, Kelly Rhodes Grover, and her grandfather, Arden R. Grover. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be directed to Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center, P.O. Box 61950, Midland, 79711, or to the Kelly Rhodes Grover Memorial Fund. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Frazier Danny Adamson. Frazier Danny Adamson, 78, of Midland, passed away June 7th. There will be a family celebration of life service at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled, Oil Tumbles to Three-Month Low After Goldman Cuts Forecast Again. Even with Saudi Arabia's cutback, Goldman sees supplies swelling. By Shree Taylor, Bloomberg. Oil closed at a three-month low, extending last week's losses after Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. cut its forecast for the third time in 6 months. West Texas Intermediate dropped 4.3%, more than erasing a rally stoked by Saudi Arabia's decision less than 2 weeks ago to cut 1 million barrels a day of production. Even with Saudi Arabia's cutback, Goldman sees crude supplies swelling, and the bank trimmed its year-end price estimate to $86. Beyond the fact that a vocal crude bull cut their crude forecast again, physical market indicators also are shaking confidence of bulls expecting the market to shift from a surplus to a deficit in the coming months, said Rebecca Babin, a senior energy trader at CIBC Private Wealth. Time spreads, which are the holy grail for traders assessing supply and demand dynamics, continue to deteriorate. The spread between U.S. crude's second and third month contracts flipped to trade at a discount for the first time since March, signaling expectations of robust supplies in the short term. There are some bullish signs, however. Sour crude prices in the U.S. Gulf Coast are trading at the highest premium to WTI in a year, following a pledge by the nation to buy 3 million barrels to fill strategic petroleum reserves. Hedge funds boosted bullish bets on Brent and West Texas Intermediate crude in the week ended June 6th. The U.S. Federal Reserve is expected to skip an interest rate hike after a year of increases, a move likely to buoy energy demand. Summer demand also remains a central focus for traders as they try to gauge actual physical demand. This article is entitled, Pedestrian Dies After Collision Involving a Truck in South Midland, by the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Midland police reported that no citations were issued after a fatal collision involving a truck and pedestrian Friday night in South Midland. MPD reported that at approximately 9:30 p.m., officers with the Midland Police Department responded to a call regarding a fatality accident involving a pedestrian in the 900 block of South Midkiff Road. Upon investigation, officers found that a truck pulling a fifth-wheel flatbed trailer was southbound in the inside left turn lane, MPD reported. While attempting to turn left, the vehicle and trailer went on to the center median and struck a pedestrian who was soliciting money from drivers in the roadway. The pedestrian suffered fatal injuries and was pronounced dead at the scene. No citations were issued, according to MPD, and pedestrian identification is still pending. The fatality is the 19th reported inside Midland County this year, according to Reporter Telegram records, and the first reported in more than 1 month. This article is entitled, Saudi Oil Minister, OPEC Plus Tackling Uncertain Market, by Matthew Martin, Bloomberg. Saudi Arabia and its OPEC Plus allies are trying to combat, quote, uncertainties and sentiment, unquote, in the oil market as the group looks to tackle short sellers, its energy minister said Sunday. I think the physical market is telling us something, and the futures market is telling us something else, Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman told the Arab China Business Forum in Riyadh, the capital. That's why we keep taking these precautionary measures. Saudi Arabia announced last week a unilateral cut of 1 million barrels a day for the month of July. The decision came after an OPEC Plus meeting in which other producers agreed to extend their own existing cuts into 2024, without offering additional action. Many energy analysts, as well as the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, expect the oil market to tighten in the second half of the year, as demand in China and India picks up further. But plenty of traders say high interest rates and economic weakness in the U.S. and Europe will weigh on oil prices for at least the rest of the year. To understand OPEC Plus today, it's all about being proactive, preemptive, and precautionary, the minister said. Last week's meeting also saw the United Arab Emirates secure a higher production quota for 2024, and Russia, the second largest OPEC Plus producer, making no commitment to cut output deeper. Prince Abdulaziz said that countries investing in boosting their oil production would be rewarded with a higher allocation for output. Investors working with places that include Algeria, Iraq, and the UAE will see the merits for investing in these countries as they know the pendulum has swung to those who are investing, he said. This article is entitled Shell CEO's New Strategy Sees a Long-Term Future for Natural Gas by Stephen Stapchinsky, Bloomberg. Shell PLC sees a long-term role for natural gas in the world's energy mix and aims to expand in key growth markets as Chief Executive Officer Wael Sawan revises the company's strategy. Liquefied natural gas teams are being urged to do more business in China and India, and the company is providing higher bonuses for deals struck in those and other target nations, according to people who have been briefed on the company's plans. Shell will examine investment opportunities for LNG export facilities or long-term supply deals, according to the people who ask not to be named as the details are private. We have always known that gas is crucial for the energy transition, but our new strategy is built around a new belief that gas will continue to play a key role in the energy mix, Cedric Kremers, an executive vice president for LNG at Shell, said in an internal memo seen by Bloomberg News. Shell declined to comment. Sawan, who became CEO in January, is scheduled to update investors Wednesday at a Capital Markets Day. His plan comes after the performance of Shell's integrated gas business helped lift first quarter profit, and follows the unit's record annual performance last year, when LNG was boosted by Russia's decision to cut pipeline supplies to Europe. It also comes as the wider sector reassesses the pace of its shift away from fossil fuels. Shell will keep oil output steady or slightly higher into 2030, scrapping annual production cuts, Reuters reported last week. BP PLC is also moving to pump more oil and gas than previously planned in the near term, while Chevron Corporation forecasts strong long-term demand for natural gas, rather than a shorter-term role as a transition fuel to cleaner energy sources. Sawan has already flagged Shell will exit businesses that aren't producing adequate returns, and the firm's renewable power division has been told that it needs to become more profitable, not just deliver lower carbon emissions. Some investors and activists have raised opposition to a weakening of climate pledges among the largest energy producers. Shell's annual meeting last month was disrupted for over an hour by protests, including calls for the company to invest more in renewables. Shell's refreshed LNG strategy will include additional work with customers to reduce emissions from the fuel by using carbon capture and storage, and also focus on hydrogen, according to the internal memo. This article is entitled, Two Juveniles Airlifted to a Lubbock Hospital After ATV Accident, by Mercedes Cordero. Two juveniles were airlifted to a Lubbock hospital following an ATV accident in central Midland, according to the Midland Police Department. MPD reported that the department's traffic division responded Sunday at about 9:23 p.m. to an accident involving an ATV and a pickup in the 2100 block of Barber Street. The initial investigation revealed that a Ford F-350 pickup was traveling northbound on Barber Street, and a Yamaha ATV occupied by three people was traveling eastbound in the alley of the 300 block of Elm Avenue. The ATV proceeded to cross Barber Street, resulting in a collision with the truck, according to MPD. The ATV occupants, a 27-year-old driver, and two juveniles were transported to the hospital. The two juveniles were then airlifted to a Lubbock hospital with life-threatening injuries. The pickup driver was not injured. The investigation is ongoing. This article is entitled, Washington Motorcyclist Dies in Collision West of La Mesa, by Mercedes Cordero. A Colbert, Washington man died Sunday following a two-vehicle crash west of La Mesa, according to the Department of Public Safety. DPS reported that Thomas Clark, 64, was traveling westbound on US 180 when a 2019 Ford F-350 with trailer, traveling eastbound, suffered a front left tire blowout and veered into the westbound lane of US 180. The pickup then struck Clark's KTM 1290 motorcycle. Clark was pronounced deceased at the scene, according to DPS. The incident occurred at 10:26 a.m., 19 miles west of La Mesa in Gaines County. This article is entitled, Women Steals More Than $800 of Yeti Products, by Mercedes Cordero. The Midland Police Department is seeking information that will help identify two theft suspects who stole more than $800 worth of Yeti products from Academy Sports and Outdoors. On April 2nd, two female suspects entered Academy Sports and Outdoors, located at 5300 West Wadley Avenue. Both women arrived at the store in the same vehicle, a dark-colored BMW, according to Midland Crime Stoppers, and entered the store at different times. Inside the store, one female gave several Yeti products to the other female, which she then placed inside a large Yeti cooler, according to a Midland Crime Stoppers Facebook post. One of the women then went to check out to pay for other items, but said she left her wallet in the car and left. The second woman then walked out of the store with unpaid items in the Yeti cooler. The items are valued at about $882. If a person is the first to submit any information on the suspects and it leads to an arrest, he or she will be eligible for a cash reward. Call Midland Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS or download the Crime Stoppers app, P3 Tips, and submit an anonymous mobile tip. No caller ID is ever used, and those providing information will remain anonymous. Reference MPD case number 230-424-300. This article is entitled, Buffett Effect is Making Occidental Stock Trade Like ExxonMobil's, by Jeffrey Morgan, Bloomberg. Warren Buffett is shielding Occidental Petroleum Corporation from the worst of the drubbing hitting oil and gas producers, and making the stock trade like fossil fuel firms more than five times its size. For much of the past year, the billionaire investor's Berkshire Hathaway Inc. has been snapping up Occidental stock whenever it falls under $60, a level shares closed below on Friday as crude prices slid. Buffett's firm is the largest stockholder with nearly 222 million shares, almost a 25% stake, according to data compiled by Bloomberg, and regulatory permission to buy more. There's a psychological Buffett effect, according to Stacy Morris, head of energy research at VettaFi. Investors rationalize, "Warren Buffett likes this stock, so I should too," she said in an interview. With crude prices stuck below $100 a barrel since August, energy has been the worst performing sector in the S&P 500 index so far this year, falling nearly 8% against the benchmark's 12% gain. With some peers notching double-digit losses, the stock has fallen less than 6%, as Berkshire's consistent buying shelters Occidental from the worst of the damage. The storied investor's stake in the Houston-based firm has grown so large that he had to quash speculation that he would seek full control last month. It may have another benefit: tamped down stock swings. The stock's 90-day volatility trails similarly sized peers, trading closer to that of ExxonMobil Corporation or Chevron Corporation, which are 8 and 5 times Occidental's market value, respectively. There are few other examples in the energy sector of major investors supporting a stock as commodities plunge, according to Morris, though Energy Transfer LP is one. That stock has struggled to hold above billionaire founder Kelsey Warren's $13.01 strike price, while Occidental has spent very little time below Buffett's $60 trigger. Investors are also cheered to see Occidental has been redeeming Buffett's preferred shares, which were issued when Berkshire Hathaway helped the oil producer finance its blockbuster $38 billion acquisition of Anadarko Petroleum in 2019. "He continues to add at lower oil prices," said Cole Smead, chief executive officer of Smead Capital Management. Smead, whose firm holds more than 7 million Occidental shares, according to Bloomberg compiled data, expects shares to trade at $100, though he didn't give a time frame. Wall Street is less bullish. Bloomberg compiled estimates put Occidental's average price target at $68, implying a roughly 15% return compared to 22% for the S&P 500 Energy Index. And 17 analysts rate the company the equivalent of a hold, outnumbering the 11 analysts who rated a buy. Still, Occidental was the most purchased stock by hedge funds in the first quarter of the year, and there could be more buyers from the Oracle of Omaha after regulators gave Berkshire the go-ahead to notch its stake up to as high as 50% last year. Roth MKM analyst Leo Mariani expects Buffett to keep buying when the stock slips below $60. "A lot of people own it for that reason," he said. This article is entitled "Citi Sounds Alarm Over Heat-Related Illnesses" by Mellon McEwen. An expected string of triple-digit temperatures lasting well into next week has city officials sounding the alarm to raise awareness about heat-related illnesses. Those illnesses can take the form of heat stress, heat exhaustion, or heat stroke, and in some cases can lead to death. "To my mind, the real tragedy is heat-related illnesses are 100% preventable, and we allow them to happen," John Floyd, public health preparedness coordinator with the City of Midland, told the Reporter-Telegram in a telephone interview. Floyd, who also served as vice president of the Permian Basin Service Transmission, Exploration, and Production, STEPS, safety network, offered this mantra to handle West Texas heat: drink water, take regular breaks, and seek out shade. "Battling dehydration is important," he said. "Don't wait until you feel thirsty. If you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated. Water is the ideal, but," he said, "some sports drinks are good within moderation." Those spending time outdoors, whether for work or leisure, should also take time to get acclimated to the change between the controlled environment of air-conditioned homes and cars to the heat. That's especially true for those new to West Texas heat, he said. Supervisors should also make it a priority to provide water, rest breaks, and shade, and conduct routine checks to ensure their crews are doing well. Floyd said that attitude of chasing the money and getting the job done without consideration of the risks of heat illnesses is beginning to fall by the wayside. There's more recognition of the need to protect workers, he said. It's better to keep people healthy and safe. People don't realize that cumulative effects such as continued dehydration or time spent in buildings with poor air circulation can result in heat-related illnesses. They can be life-changing, he said, resulting in kidney damage or brain damage, resulting in cognitive difficulties that affect a person the rest of their lives. While preventing heat-related illnesses is the best outcome, he also urged awareness of any symptoms and their treatment. In cases of heat illness, symptoms are high body temperature, hot, red, dry skin, a fast, strong pulse, headache, dizziness, nausea, confusion, and possibly loss of consciousness. Floyd said in such cases, call 911 immediately. Move the person to a cooler place and lower the body temperature with cool cloths or a cool bath. Do not, he said, give the person anything to drink. In cases of heat exhaustion, symptoms include sweating, pale, cool, clammy skin, a fast, weak pulse, nausea, muscle cramps, tiredness, dizziness, and headache. Move the person to a cool place, loosen their clothes, apply cool cloths, and get them to sip some water. If they are vomiting or the symptoms worsen or last more than an hour, seek medical help. Heat cramps are signaled by heavy sweating and muscle pain or spasms. In such cases, the person should stop activity and move to a cooler place, drink water or a sports drink, massage the area, and wait for cramps to end before resuming activity. Seek medical help if cramps last more than an hour. This article is entitled, Former Midland Teacher, Coach, Convicted in Ponzi Scheme, by Mercedes Cordero. A former Midland teacher and lacrosse coach was convicted Thursday by a federal jury on one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and four counts of aiding and abetting wire fraud, according to the Department of Justice. William Logsdon, 54, conducted a Ponzi scheme with his mother-in-law, Jamie Thompson, a former geologist in the oil and gas industry who previously pleaded guilty. In total, Logsdon and Thompson are believed to have defrauded their victims out of more than $1.5 million, according to the press release. Logsdon used the trust he had built with community members during his time as a lacrosse coach and teacher in the Midland area, and even the trust he had established with members of his own family, to convince them to invest in a Ponzi scheme, according to court documents and evidence presented at trial. Victims were told money they were investing was being used to purchase royalty interests for various oil, gas, and mineral projects located in Texas and New Mexico through an entity called the National Royalty Group, or NRG. However, the purchasing entity did not exist. Rather than purchasing royalty interests, Thompson and Logsdon used the money to primarily pay for personal expenses, as well as to advance the Ponzi scheme by providing some distributions back to earlier investors, according to trial documents. The Midland Police Department investigated the case. This article is entitled, Former Midlander Michael Arden Wins Tony Award, by Stuart Doreen. Midland native Michael Arden won the Tony Award for Direction of Musical Sunday night. Arden grew up in Midland and attended Trinity School of Midland. The honor of Best Musical Director came for his work directing Parade, a doomed musical love story set against the real backdrop of a murder and lynching in pre-World War I Georgia, according to an Associated Press report. Parade stars Ben Platt as Leo Frank, a Jewish man who was lynched in 1915 in Georgia, the AP reported. In his acceptance speech for Best Director, Michael Arden evoked the play's somber themes, noting, "We must battle this. It is so, so important, or else we are doomed to repeat the horrors of our history." The Associated Press also reported Arden then added his own story of how growing up he often had been called the F-word, referring to a homophobic slur. He then earned some of the night's loudest cheers when he triumphantly reclaimed the slur while pointing out that he now had a Tony. Parade tells the story of a life that was cut short at the hands of the belief that one group of people is more valuable than another, and that they might be more deserving of justice, Arden said, according to the AP report. This is a belief that is the core of anti-Semitism, white supremacy, homophobia and transphobia, and intolerance of any kind. We must come together. We must battle this. Timothy Jebson, executive director of Midland Community Theater, said of Arden's Tony victory on his Facebook page, "Last night, it was a joy to see Michael Arden from Midland win the Tony Award for Best Director of Parade. Michael was a Pickwick player, and I got a chance to direct him in our 1999 production of Into the Woods at Midland Community Theater. He played Jack. Attached are two photos from this production with Michael. Kudos and congratulations to Michael on your hard work and artistic dedication to this craft." It was a big night at the Tony Awards for Midland, with Michael winning a major award, even better than a leg lamp, and the mention of Midlander Douglas McGrath in the In Memoriam section. Midland Community Theater is currently in our 77th year of trying to produce the best in live theatrical productions for the Permian Basin, and we appreciate all of our amazing volunteers, both the ones still here in Midland and those who stretch their wings and fly off to other adventures on stage. This article is entitled Former MISD Chief Riddick to be part of takeover at Houston ISD by Stuart Doreen. Former Midland ISD Superintendent Orlando Riddick has joined Mike Miles' cabinet at Houston ISD. Riddick resigned at Midland ISD in October 2020. Later that year, he served as the acting chief of school leadership with Dallas ISD. Most recently, Riddick worked in the central office administration for Mesquite ISD as the ESSER effectiveness officer. Riddick is one of two former Midland ISD administrators to join Miles' team at Houston ISD. Miles has also hired Loz Martinez, a former associate superintendent under Angelica Ramsey. Both Riddick and Martinez will work as division superintendents. Mr. Riddick joins HISD with a strong belief in entrepreneurial leadership and a career centered around the listen, learn, and lead philosophy, Houston ISD reported. Riddick previously served in Houston ISD as the chief of high schools. Earlier this month, the Texas Education Agency tapped former Dallas School Superintendent Mike Miles to be superintendent of the Houston Independent School District, commencing the state's takeover of its largest school district, according to a report from the Texas Tribune. Miles had served as CEO of Third Future Schools, a charter school network that operates Houston Collegiate Prep in Midland. Riddick was the superintendent when the Midland ISD board agreed to partner with Third Future to operate Houston as an in-district charter. Midland ISD also has turned over Lamar Elementary to Third Future beginning this fall. This article is entitled Library Director. Budget requests respond to patrons' complaints. More transparent with the community is what we do. Debbie Garza, Director of Public Libraries. This article is written by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Director of Public Libraries Debbie Garza shared a budget with the Midland County Commissioner's Court that she said responds to local patrons' complaints. Garza is one of the county's department heads who, this week, is scheduled to share their respective budget requests and plans for the upcoming fiscal year. The special meetings continue through Wednesday. Garza said Midland County Public Libraries are looking to hire two new positions during the 2024 fiscal year, including a library specialist who helps with the collection of books, technical services, and cataloging. The other position is a marketing manager who will assist in advertising the library services and be more transparent with the community in what we do, Garza said. Garza added that Midland County Public Libraries wants to update their nonfiction children's collection by weeding out old books and replacing them with newer books for children. There have been discussions between Garza and the Commissioner's Court about books in certain library sections, specifically those for children and teens. There have been complaints, including by Commissioner Diane Anderson, of books that are not in appropriate sections and the process to rectify that issue. Garza also told the court that Midland County Public Libraries will not renew its contract with Freegull, a free music streaming app due to low usership. Garza said Freegull cost the library about $11,000 per year. Other changes include changing the library's language software. Garza said the county currently uses Transparent Language, which helps patrons learn over 110 languages. Garza shared that patrons have called out grammar and spelling mistakes on Transparent Language. She told the court that despite a $4,000 cost, she wants to switch to Mango Languages, which she stated has a much more robust user experience. Adding more computers to their locations from 5 to 10 to accommodate patrons. The addition, according to Garza, would increase that expense from $4,750 to $9,500. Purchasing AWE Learning for younger patrons. This educational software helps young children master topics like literacy, handwriting practice, and the like. Repairing building damage. Purchasing Library IQ and My Libro. Library IQ, according to its website, is a platform that allows librarians to understand their community better by providing data and statistics that help them curate their collection to community wants. It gives stats and reports on what the public is asking for, so that will help us manage our collection, Garza said. My Libro is a mobile app that allows students and patrons to use voice chat and conversation to connect with public libraries. According to Garza, this app can help with a variety of things, but mainly, patrons can pick up their books quickly through curbside pickup by communicating with the library directly through the mobile app. Midland County Department budgets for next fiscal year will not be approved for a matter of months.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, June 13th. Fawcett, West Odessans should consider forming own government. For years, the West Odessans have rejected the idea of becoming a part of the city of Odessa, but Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett wants to explore another way for residents to get trash, emergency, and other services the city would provide without being annexed. He'd like West Odessans to consider forming their own government. Although the results of the U.S. Census shows West Odessa only has 25,000 to 30,000 people, Fawcett is convinced the area is closer to 65,000 people when one takes into consideration man camps, trailers, and recreational vehicles. In fact, with numbers like that, the judge said, West Odessa is actually the third largest community within 150 miles, and yet it has no government. In years past, West Odessans haven't wanted to be annexed by the city of Odessa because they disliked the idea of being ruled by pesky ordinances, but Fawcett said he found out while campaigning, residents truly want such things as emergency services, trash pickup, and parks. They also are concerned about animal welfare issues. For so long, it was the Wild West, but with the changing demographics, they're seeing increasing needs, Fawcett said. Currently, the county has an intergovernmental agreement with the city for EMS services and a volunteer fire department, but given the size of West Odessa, they need 6 fire stations, Fawcett said. Odessa Fire Rescue does an amazing job, but it's not enough, in my opinion, Fawcett said. Minutes count when someone is having a heart attack or finds themselves in another life-threatening situation, he said. Over the coming months, Fawcett said he would like to embark on an education campaign to not only educate residents about the differences between municipal and county governments, but to learn from residents exactly what they'd like for their community. Every day, Fawcett said he reads Facebook posts where people ask when the city of Odessa is going to start investing in West Odessa, not understanding the answer is never because they don't pay taxes to the city. He'd like West Odessans to know they can choose to incorporate and decide for themselves what services they are willing to pay for. They can choose to have a streets department to improve roads and lighting or not. They can choose to have a city manager or not. They can determine how many fire stations and firefighters they like and their hours of operation. They could even choose how large their city council is, Fawcett said. They don't have to have code enforcement, Fawcett said. It's up to them, and that's the brilliance of it. If they like having a mini farm or goats or horses, they can have them. If West Odessans are only interested in improving emergency services, they also have the option of creating an emergency services district, Fawcett said. The judge said he and Commissioner Mike Garner plan to put together a website for surveys soon. They might also host town hall meetings. In addition, he hopes to convince commissioners to sign a contract with Zen City, a company that can track online conversations to know what residents are talking about. The company would then take that information to commissioners so the county can best address the topics on social media and the county's website. Residents could be asked, for example, how much money per month are they willing to spend on parks or on emergency services, Fawcett said. A lot of discussions need to be held, and eventually cost estimates would have to be prepared based on residents' desires, the judge said. A consultant might also have to be hired. If an overwhelming number of residents are interested in incorporating, Fawcett said the next step would be for them to get a petition going. If the requisite number of signatures are obtained, the matter would end up on a ballot. Fawcett said it's not out of the realm of possibility for Gardendale and Pleasant Farm to follow suit. Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin expands the Power Bag Program, Fort Stockton. The Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, LCPB, will announce the expansion of their literacy program to the Pecos County Memorial Hospital Tuesday. POWER stands for Power of Words and Early Reading. The bags provide information to new parents, encouraging them to read, sing, and interact with their children to foster confidence and vocabulary development. The expansion will start in July and will be announced at 2:30 p.m. Tuesday at Pecos County Memorial Hospital, 387 I-10 Fort Stockton. It lists of current active hospitals include Midland Memorial Hospital, Medical Center Hospital, Odessa Regional Medical Center, Scenic Mountain Medical Center, and Reeves Regional Health. County to address roads inmate fees. Ector County Commissioners will meet at 10 a.m. Tuesday to discuss a number of items on a packed agenda. County Judge Dustin Fawcett detailed one of the more important items on the agenda, discussion of a contract that will archive and preserve county records. The court will discuss approving a contract with CoFile Technologies for the preservation and archival of records for the district clerk, county clerk, and sheriff's office using remaining ARPA lost revenue funds, and the county and district clerk records management and archive funds. This is a large-scale project from the district clerk, sheriff, and county clerk to digitize all their records and would be done at huge cost savings for the county, Fawcett said Monday. If our folks had to do all this work, it would take 60 years. Fawcett said to pay for the project that the court could use about $9 million out of the county's remaining ARPA funds. It will make our operations much more efficient and also save us money in the long run. Another important item, Fawcett said, is a discussion on the Burnett County interlocal agreement for inmate housing between Burnett County and Ector County, including increases in both guard services and the per diem rate. Fawcett said Burnett will be the seventh county that Ector is contracted with to house inmates due to a jailer shortage at the Ector County Detention Center. My number one priority is to increase jailer staff enough that we don't have to send our inmates to seven other counties. Now more than ever, we must increase their pay and also law enforcement pay. He said they are looking at ways to make law enforcement pay in the county more equitable, so we don't get poached all the time. Everyone loves to work for Griffiths, but the bottom line is they have to pay more to want to stay at Ector County. The commissioner will also discuss for the record software installation in Ector County courtrooms. Discuss furniture reimbursement for Judge Sarah Kate Billingsley for her office chair that was ruined due to a courthouse flooding in April 2023. Discuss proclaiming Elder Abuse Awareness Month in June. Discuss proclaiming June 21st as the longest day Alzheimer's disease. Discuss a vehicle total loss designation for a sheriff's 2021 Tahoe. Discuss approving a donation to the Ector County Sheriff's Office of $1,000 from Varsity Sports Unlimited, and also a $7,468 donation from law enforcement partners to the Ector County Sheriff's Department. Discuss the 2022 annual interpretation of AgriLife Extension programming. Discuss road construction material bids. Discuss the renewal agreement with debt books for GASB 87 and 96 reporting software. Discuss an outside auditor engagement renewal with Whitley Penn for the county's fiscal year 2023 audit. Discuss mobile imaging services for jail medical renewal. Midland ISD hires new chief of police. Midland ISD has hired Carlos Ortiz to serve as the district's next chief of police. A recent retiree from the U.S. Border Patrol, Ortiz brings more than 27 years of law enforcement experience to his new role. I'm very excited to bring my law enforcement knowledge and experience to MISD, he said in a news release. Safety and security for everyone is my top priority, and I will work hard to ensure our officers are better equipped and better trained than ever before. Ortiz's career includes service as Assistant Chief Border Patrol Agent at the Border Security Operations Center in Austin. He also served as second-in-command at the U.S. Border Patrol Academy in Artesia, New Mexico, and Assistant Chief Patrol Agent in Washington, D.C. Prior to his Border Patrol career, Ortiz was a Texas Department of Public Safety trooper stationed in Midland. Ortiz is a Marine Corps veteran who was deployed with the 3rd Battalion, 8th Marines in Operation Desert Storm and Operation Desert Shield. He received numerous awards, including a Joint Meritorious Unit Award, National Defense Service Medal, and a Meritorious Unit Commendation. Since 2007, Ortiz has helped coordinate National Police Week in Washington, D.C., and since 2012, has helped coordinate the First Responders Games and Salute to Service Games at the Dallas Cowboys. Ortiz's Permian Basin roots run deep. He is a graduate of Stanton High School, where he played football and basketball. He earned his criminal justice degree from Odessa College. His wife, Brandy, is a Lehigh School Now Legacy graduate. We are very excited that Carlos will be our next Chief of Police, Superintendent Stephanie Howard said. I truly believe he is the right person to move the department forward, establish good working relationships with other agencies, and grow our police department into a well-respected agency in Midland and the Permian Basin. Ortiz begins his new role on Monday, June 26th. MISD will host a news conference at 11:30 a.m. June 26th to introduce Ortiz to the community. The event will take place in Room 101 at the District Service Center, 615 West Missouri Avenue. Hart Gallery of West Texas visits Houston and Hill Country. Hart Gallery of West Texas, a program of One Accord for Kids, brings the smiles and stories of West Texas children and youth in the foster system to West Texas through portrait exhibits and television outlets that all point to an online gallery where visitors can make an inquiry on a specific child, because 60% of West Texas kids in foster care are placed outside of our 30-county region. One Accord for Kids has to go to great lengths to capture photos and videos of these kids. Through June 12th through June 13th, One Accord will be on a road trip to Baytown, Houston, and Bandera to meet up with six of these youths. In addition to capturing photos and interviews, One Accord will be taking them on a summer experience filled with fun and adventure. June 12th, Baytown. King, age 11, will be joining One Accord for Kids Associate Director Matt Waller on a fishing trip with Bow to Stern Fishing Tours. Hart Gallery of West Texas profile can be found at oneaccordtx.org/project/king. June 13th, Houston. Siblings Devin 13, Alicia 12, Davian 8, and Julian 7 will be joining Matt Waller at the for a much anticipated sibling visit. One Accord for Kids was collaborated with Houston Hart Gallery to make this event possible. June 14th, Bandera. In Bandera, McKaylin, 16, will join Matt Waller for a river trail ride with Bandera Historical Ride. McKaylin's profile can be found at oneaccordtx.org/project/MAKAYLEN. ECISD to hear bond committee presentation. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will hear a presentation from the Bond Advisory Committee and consider hiring principals at Burleson and E.K. Downing Elementary Schools, an Executive Director of Special Services, Executive Director of District Operations, and Executive Director of Choice Programs. Access and support at their workshop, June 13th. Trustees will deliberate these items and others on a packed agenda in the first floor room of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The Ector County ISD Bond Committee reached a consensus for bond projects in March. Committee members agreed on a recommendation of 10 projects, a new CTE Center, Priority 1 and Priority 2 maintenance repairs, technology improvements, fine arts needs, transportation department needs, ag farm needs, transition learning center needs, athletic needs, and a new middle school. The group also agreed on the need to keep the bond price tag at a level that will not require ECISD to raise its tax rate. Currently, ECISD leaders project the district could take on a bond package of about $396 million without increasing the tax rate, and the number could increase by the time a bond election is held, a news release stated. According to Odessa American article from April 20th, over the last several years, ECISD has made moves that saved taxpayers $26.9 million in future interest payments, according to the district. We have approximately $400 million in what's called bond capacity, which means we have the ability as a system to go out and capture and really sell $400 million worth of bonds without raising the tax rate, because the current tax rate has the ability to pay off $400 million worth of bonds, Superintendent Scott Murray said in that interview. The reason ECISD is in this position, he said, is because of the good stewardship of the Board of Trustees. The agenda also includes a presentation of the 2023-24 compensation plan, a budget update, presentation of MAP, measures of academic progress data, swearing in of newly elected Position 7 trustee Bob Thayer, and board reorganization.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.